quiet, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink filmmakers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought is, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Isis?
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the King, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Good morning. This message is for Matt and Kevin. My name is Anthony Helmer. I'm a recent subscriber to the podcast and a local artist to Huntington Beach, California. Just wanted to wish you guys the best on your podcast and on XM Radio. Big thanks to Matt for picking up a Black Canary original art, and hope to talk to you guys soon. Thanks. Bye.
Are we on Sirius again?
Oh, you know, I work over there sometimes with that other guy.
Oh, that's right.
I do that thing with him on Friday sometimes.
You moonlight.
Yeah, I moonlight once in a blue moon.
I get you.
It's all right. And we have some crossover. There's some crossover there. But that Anthony has great timing because his sketch actually just arrived probably last Thursday in the mail. And I was going to mention it on the show this week anyway. So I'm glad that he called. He's an artist I found on Instagram. You know, if you go to the little like suggested tab on there and it gives you, oh, you don't use Instagram, PK, do you?
It's the what?
Exactly. Well, they have a little thing, suggested people, you know, based on like things that you like or the people that you follow. And so his art popped up one day and it was a lot of Disney-based stuff. I think it might have been Tinkerbell and Captain Hook. I was hooked instantly. Immediately on his stuff. I love his style. It's fantastic. And I had to commission a sketch from him. And I was like, well, it's got to be Black Canary because, you know, I have a thing. So.
For Black Canary?
Well, anything Green Arrow related, but yes.
Why wasn't it Green Arrow?
Because I want a Black Canary.
Oh.
Because he's good with the ladies. Although his hook piece that he did was great. And he's done some, He did like the Hatbox Ghost, I think yesterday or today.
Nice.
Yeah, he's a huge Disney fan. You'd actually probably like a lot of his stuff, Ken.
Are you telling me I should be on the Instagram?
I'm telling you, you should be on the Instagram.
All right.
And you should check out Anthony Helmer.
Can we talk about what's really disturbing about this piece and you and Instagram?
If you really want to.
So you put this piece.
Yes.
And then like the next picture, you were topless. And talking about how much you love this piece.
You make it sound dirty. It wasn't dirty.
I'm telling you what the perception might be. She is very provocatively posed.
Really? No, she's kind of in an action pose.
Okay. One man's provocative,
and
another man's action.
It's old school Canary, too. It's fishnets and leather jacket. It's not
like
exactly a bombshell.
That's exactly why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Listen, I know you don't use the internet very often. Of course, it's this thing. Last time you used it was AOL.
Hey, I get it. I have Instagram. Yeah. Does PK have Instagram?
Yeah, but you don't actually
PK's not going to have Instagram now after Topless Matt is showing his stuff.
No. So there's a hashtag on Instagram called Stop Drop Selfie, SDS. And, you know, if you get tagged in it, you're supposed to, if you're, you know, available, you take a quick snapshot of what you're doing. I happened to be in the studio last night, hanging it, prepping for the show and doing all those things.
Uh-huh.
So that was the fun. It's 110 degrees outside. The humidity is around 700%. Mm. I'm saying.
I don't think the ocean is 700% humidity.
I'm telling you, it's seven. You could cut and serve the air.
Wow. Like cake.
Like cake. A little whipped cream on top.
Well, you know what else is awesome about Anthony?
Anthony.
Is that he's only been listening to the show for like 6 seconds.
Yeah.
And he's already used the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And has heard himself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's right.
Just like you can.
Indeed, a Rooney.
You know what else he's good at?
What?
Brevity.
Ah, yes. The Brevity. Key to a good phone call sometimes.
And the soul of wit, they say.
Sure.
And so we should probably address that at this time. We love all you guys.
All of you.
All of you. Especially the guys that call in. We get a lot of phone calls
sure.
that we cannot use. Not for any specific reason. It's just, you know, maybe it's kind of like, hey, you guys suck. We haven't got a lot of those.
Thank God. Those have dropped off considerably.
Yeah, a lot, really. I can't remember last. Now we're going to get 100.
I know.
But we do get a lot of phone calls. And what we find is that there's a lot of people who have a lot to say.
Sure.
But here's the thing. You only have a limited amount of time, so you got to be brief. And I get what you're saying is really important. We want to hear it. A lot of times it's reviewing small cons, which we are really big into. And we have at least one of those today,
right?
We have
two.
Two.
Oh, one small, well, one big.
One big, yeah. But that's different. West Coast Scott, you know, is our West Coast correspondent.
Sure.
So, you know, if it takes him a couple of calls to get it all in, it's okay. I mean, you know, everybody can tighten it up a little. But if you're just like just going on and on and on, we love you. We really do. But we can't use a phone call that's like or three to comprise your, you know, that your particular thought on a given topic. So let's establish maybe some guidelines. One, if it feels like it's the right amount of length that you've used and you've gotten out your information, it's too long. Right? That's number one. So if it feels like this is a good length, stop there because you have already gone too long. Number one. Number two, keep it to one topic. If you have a multiple topics that you want to make a call about, call again. You know, hey, this is topic. Hey, this is so-and-so. I want to talk about topic, this topic, blah, 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 this topic.
Sure.
Hey, thanks. And blah, blah, blah. Hang up. Call the number again.
425-920-6050.
Hey, this is Big Kev. I want to talk about Muppets action figures. Completely different topic. You don't need to reference, hey, this is my second topic call. You just do it as individuals. That makes it so much easier for us to then use those because guys call in and they're like, there's this and I saw this and it's terrible and I love these things and it's just not something.
It's hard to work it into the show.
Really hard. And that's a lot of phone calls that we get are like that.
Speak like your ass is on Twitter.
Exactly. Yeah. 140 characters or less.
So brief.
Yes.
One topic. If you have multiple topics, make multiple calls. And also, more of you can call in. You know, we have a lot of guys who give us great calls and you hear a lot, you know, they're kind of like our little phone characters on the show. But we want to hear from everybody. Especially the ladies.
Right.
So, give that phone call a ring.
425-920-6050.
There you go. We're working it out.
Yeah.
But he's got it.
Yeah.
That was good.
I'm learning the numbers.
We're getting
That's
there.
Good. Yes. OG,
well, I actually want to address some of the voicemails that we won't be playing very quickly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could do it in bulk without having to mention any names.
I want to give them credit because of the topic that they called in about.
Okay.
Right? Because I want to say that as much as we love you guys, CLE Stephen Cleveland, as
Cleveland.
We like to call him, and SeaMonkey67 with a C, by the way, not S-E-A.
That's why.
The only iteration I didn't try.
Oops.
C-Monkey.
The letter C-Monkey?
Yeah.
No, C-E-E-Monkey.
Yeah.
No, C monkey. The letter C.
The letter C.
C monkey.
He's not abbreviating cock monkey, is he?
I don't know. Maybe he
is. It could
is.
Be like ka-monkey.
Ka-monkey.
We're just going to say C monkey. I'm going to say whether or not you paid for it or not, because I know maybe you didn't. Y'all are both suckers because you actually went and saw FF. Thank you for calling in to let us know that it was, in fact, terrible.
Yeah,
but
thank you.
Even if you didn't pay, you paid with your time.
That's it. And time is the most valuable commodity right. you have, and there's 2 hours you'll never get
back. So there you go. Two listeners, they agree with everybody else on the planet. The movie sucks donger.
Donger. Big time.
Did you hear, and I wasn't going to talk about FF, but very, very briefly. Very briefly. Today, it started to circulate. The script that Trank originally had that was cut. Did you hear about that?
No.
It involved Galactus, Herbie, and a couple of other things.
Uh-huh.
That one review I read of it said, it certainly seems very dense, but at least the story was more cohesive.
Wow, that was incredibly loud.
The point there being is, I don't care what could have been. You know what I mean? I don't care about the movie we could have had at this point. All I care about is that it still hasn't made back budget.
Yeah.
It never will.
You know what? It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant what the movie started at.
Sure.
It only matters what it is. Oh, so what? Did Trank release that to try to sway some of the guilt of this movie away from him?
I don't know who released it, but...
Fuck you, Trank.
Okay, of course.
Fuck you, Trank.
All right. Let's move forward with the rest of the show. Is that okay with you two gentlemen?
Yes. And the rest of the show starts with the Begathon.
Sure enough.
The Begathon is going on. We have one auctioneer currently has items up and available for sale. This Saturday, a second auctioneer will have items on eBay for sale and some very exciting items, I must say.
So I had also written down the list of people who had made donations
yes,
in the past week.
You actually wrote those names down.
Yeah, and they're on my desk at work. So
still?
So not here. Wow. But I remember two of them for sure.
Okay.
One was Alex C. in, I believe, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
The other one was Jeffrey L. in British Columbia, Canada.
Oh, nice.
Listeners
nice.
In Canada. And the third guy actually donated twice. And the second time he was like, yo, why don't you re-release that Flash Gordon commentary? Because I bought it, lost it, and I want to buy it again. And to him I say, it has been located.
And to him we say, stay tuned.
Very soon. Legit stay tuned this
yeah,
time.
Like legit.
Between now and New York Comic Con, I suspect we'll have something for the people that really want it.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I've been saving for the past 6 years every single email we've ever gotten that was like, when are you guys going to re-release that Flash Gordon commentary?
Yeah.
I've been putting in a little document.
A little file.
I'm going to put out a blast email.
Found in the archives.
That's it. Found in the archives. So it yep. is coming.
A lot
it does
of,
exist.
A lot of items from the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product yeah. archives making their way into the Begathon
right.
this year.
So auctions are still live.
Yes.
There is a link on the site in the show notes. It's also on our Facebook page. It's also all over Twitter. So check it out. Check out. There's some really great. There's some really great items.
And
some
more
really good
auctioneers to go.
Indeed.
At least one or two more, possibly three more. So there's going to be a lot of stuff happening. But you know what? Auctions are fun.
Sure.
Auctions are great. You're going to get some great. And I swear to you, you're going to get some great products if you're looking at these auctions this time around. And especially the stuff moving forward that comes out of the product archive. But you don't have to wait for all that.
No.
You can go right over to bkgeekstuff.com and go right to the PayPal link.
That's right.
And drop yo dime right there.
And we appreciate it every time you do
every
it.
Every single time.
We love you all. You make great things happen.
You make this program possible. And right now we should say this is a deja vu moment. So
it
for
is.
Those of you who are... our constant listeners of the show, you know exactly what that means.
That's right.
And that problem would not have occurred if we were able to maintain and upgrade the equipment that we use on this program.
I do want to mention one more thing before we move into the news.
There's news? I just thought this was like...
Just a Begathon? That's it?
NPR. Where we just go on for 20 minutes about how much we do for you and how much you should give us money.
Quick tangent. I listen to NPR pretty frequently. I enjoy NPR.
Me
right?
too.
And sometimes when I'm listening to NPR and I'm listening to the names of some of the reporters, I get really confused. Like, am I in a Key and Peele sketch? Or am I listening to a real dude's life? No. Like Satirious Johnson.
Satirious Johnson.
Sounds like a Key and Peele sketch football player.
Yeah.
Jack Marius Tack Theratrix.
Exactly.
Who's I'm James Kamarasamy.
It's like.
And he's a British guy.
Wait, what? Yeah, exactly. But anyway.
I'm trying to think some of my other. Go on. If
so
I
anyway,
them.
I want to announce, we teased it last week. It's already been teased online by us and by the person who put together the piece for us for New York Comic Con, our first exclusive.
Oh, yes?
I'm comfortable in announcing it and releasing it. It is by Dickie Page.
Dickie Page?
Fan of the show.
Is Dickie coming over?
No, Dickie is not coming over this year. Dickie will be at DCon, though, and he has some awesome things going on for DCon. He has a... can I talk about this? I don't know if you should. He's got a great thing going on at DCon. I'll confirm whether or not we can mention it before next week's show.
I got to say I'm kind of upset.
But, well, look, I understand. He can only do one.
When's DCon? Can I go to that?
It's in October or November, I think. It might be only a couple weeks after New York, so it might be tight. But our first exclusive this year is with Dickie Page, Rich Page, Umi Toys on Twitter and Instagram.
Dickie Page.
It is Margarita, and it is a slice of New York pepperoni pizza.
Oh, dig that.
Is it pepperoni pizza?
It is pepperoni pizza.
Because I saw the pictures, and I thought it might be olives.
No, I believe it's pepperoni pizza.
Oh, okay.
And it's great. It's in that food style that he does. And I'm just going to say this. We don't do pre-sales on any of our exclusives.
Correct.
You have to be at the con to get it.
Please don't ask us.
However.
We will be doing a ticketed lottery. and there will be a line. Yep. You are not allowed to line up before the convention begins.
No joke. Last year,
yeah,
Butt Plug was the exclusive last year.
Do you remember? I remember.
All but one piece sold on Thursday.
Yes, I remember.
We opened the con Friday morning with one exclusive of Rich's left, and it sold by like 11 o'clock.
Yo, we might have to Hasbro this.
So,
we might have to divvy them up like an allotment per day.
The first come, first serve. That being said.
Yeah, these cons where they get exclusive pieces and there's just not enough for everyone at the fucking con.
Yeah, but this
these
is...
These bastards don't, you know, and they're...
This is a handmade piece. It's not a mass-produced China piece. But what I will say is that based on the buzz on the early speculation, at least half of them are like, we'll be camping your booth Thursday, which we've had in the past.
Maybe Dickie should double that run.
So there it is. And we'll post pictures of that online as well. So let's move into the news, though, because we have a lot to talk about.
Can I tease this?
Sure.
I spoke to an artist this past weekend at an event that you and I were at that we need to mention.
Yes.
That artist said that we should talk to him about doing something with him for New York Comic
Con. Okay. We'll talk about that event in the second half of the show tonight.
Okay.
Because I do want to mention it. But
it was fun. We should.
We should mention it. Yeah, absolutely.
Big news.
Let's talk about D23 because I think that encompasses most of the big news.
And so with that, OG, I think we should take our first break. And
We do have an actual con review of D23 from West Coast Scott.
Yes.
But we're going to play that during the break.
Okay.
But let's talk about the news that came out of D23 that we want to discuss.
Okay.
Most of it is Star Wars related. Is it all Star Wars related? I think
most
with
of
one
the
small thing.
No.
Large portion.
Most of the important stuff was Star Wars. So why don't we not start with that? Let's talk about the Marvel stuff.
Sure.
The Marvel stuff was they showed Captain America
teaser
footage.
Yep.
Which they are now apparently, they said they're going to release it right at the end of the convention. Apparently now they're holding it until, I don't even know. I heard the fall. Now.
Well, the convention has come and gone, so
yes.
It hasn't been released
right
yet.
And that was the word on the street was that they were going to release it at the end of the convention. That didn't happen. Second, they talked about Doctor Strange.
That's right.
And the Benedict Cumberbatch video.
Right.
I think I posted.
You did.
Whatever footage we had from that presentation that was released, I think I posted on our Facebook page.
It's there.
So you can check that out. And everybody, of course, is just going berserk for that. And I think it was awesome. The applause that Anthony Mackie got when he came out. And then he introduced Cap and people lost their minds.
Yeah.
Which I was like, yeah, Chris Evans, you definitely want to leave this. You know, right? You don't want to be typecast and pigeonholed into just playing Captain America because this sucks.
Exactly. Yeah, adoring fans.
See the look on his face, too, like, God damn it, I'm going to have to take less money to keep doing this.
Even though we didn't see the Cap footage, we did see some, and this kind of ties in, we did see some photos from the set that leaked online of Black Panther. And the most amazing thing about Black Panther in this Marvel movie is that he looks exactly like Black Panther.
Except
what?
He has a hard helmet.
Yeah, but okay, he does. But
I don't disagree with
but it. But much like Daredevil had a hard helmet, right? And people bitched about that too. For practical reasons.
No, I get
he
that.
He should have a hard helmet.
No, I totally agree with it.
And
theoretically,
you would think in the comics, it's hard in the comics. Just, you got to represent that on TV or something.
Yeah, no.
And then the film.
Definitely soft in the comics. You see it folding and
you're
stuff.
You're soft in the comics.
But
you're
look, soft. It's practical. It makes sense that it's a bit hard.
No, it's fine. So, I have no problem with it because of the realistic universe that Marvel has created. I have no issue with it whatsoever. Right. I just thought it was important to point that out.
I just wish Fox would. Anyway, so
wow,
so that was the Marvel news.
Die, was that it?
Let's talk about the Disney news real quick. There wasn't a ton of Disney news. I think there was just some updates on some projects.
So, Toy Story 4,
right? Which is a love story, by the way, between Woody and Bo Peep. Yeah.
Weird. Cars 3,
Cars 3,
and most importantly, Incredibles 2.
Don't forget Finding Dory. Also,
oh, Finding Dory. Yep. Yeah,
and Incredibles 2.
But we already knew about Finding.
We knew about Incredibles 2 as well.
Did we? I thought that had been confirmed.
Oh no, that had been confirmed. No, that had been confirmed a while ago. What we got this time is the poster, which again is it's a cool design. Right. It's nothing new.
Is there going to be like some sort of Toy Story Land? Are we going to get into that part of it?
Well, we'll talk about that now. Obviously, they announced some theme park expansions.
Right. And really significant ones. So let's leap right into the biggest ones. Both parks. Walt Disney World.
Well, no, let's save anything. Let's save anything Star Wars related for a second.
So Toy Story Land.
Toy Story Land is going to both Florida and California.
Right.
And Hong Kong is getting Stark Tower. They're getting a Stark Tower themed section to their theme park.
Okay.
Toy Story Land looks pretty cool. A couple of unique rides that I saw. There's like
that
at least
Buzz Lightyear
cool
ride going to be there. I rode that in California.
That's still going to be well, you're talking about
the shooter one.
Yeah, that one's already in Hollywood Studios. So I suspect they might move it to wherever the new park or the new section of the park is going to be.
Right. Well, there's two. There's the Midway Blasters, and then there's the actual Buzz Lightyear adventure in
there's
Tomorrowland.
One in, right, there's one in Tomorrowland. There's one in Hollywood Studios. But I think Toy Story Land is going to Hollywood Studios.
Ah, okay.
I think it's going to be an extension of that park, which really, that is the smallest park. That is the park in most need of something.
Desperate need
not updating. For long.
Animal Kingdom is getting the Avatar-themed land.
And I applaud that because I thought for sure that was going to never, ever, ever, ever.
And
happen.
I gotta tell you, even though the movie is, I like the movie, so I'll take flack for
that. I'm a fan too.
No, I like
it. It looks gorgeous. And one of the rides is a ride over Pandora that looks like it's Soarin', but with Pandora. Like if you read the
and you're on the
you're on the winged
the banshee
beast.
Thing that they fly around in.
But
right?
I honestly, reading the description of that, I'm pretty positive it's exactly like Soarin'.
Cool,
but just
that,
Avatar theme.
That
but
would
that,
be
that's okay.
Outstanding. Yeah. Soarin', you think they'll slap some 3D glasses on you though to really immerse you in
maybe
that?
It's possible.
Cool. I'm excited.
That's
I'm excited.
Cool.
All right. Now we can talk about the other stuff.
Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. Oh my God. Could they have done any more cool announcements? I was really having overload in Star Wars last week between the stupid effing Walmarts that released product early and ruined everything for Hasbro, J.J. Abrams, and Disney by doing so. Between that and these announcements at D23, I was overloaded with Star Wars. I don't think I went an hour without a new piece of Star Wars news.
And here's the best part about all of the Star Wars news that we got, with the exception of the toy leaks, which I don't think they're that bad.
No,
it takes away some of the.
I was positioning myself as a person who is either J.J. Abrams or Disney. Or I don't care if that stuff got leaked. I'm fine with that.
But I love the fact that we got all this great Star Wars news and almost none of it, with the exception of like maybe one thing, is really Episode 7 related.
No.
We got a Rogue.
Episode 7 is behind us.
We got Rogues. We got the Luke image, right? We got that happened.
That wasn't officially released.
Oh, was
that,
it? I thought that
was a leak.
You're talking about the Luke Abides?
Yeah.
That was a leak. No, the official image they released was Rogue One.
Which looks awesome.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And the cast list.
Alan Tudyk is in there.
Alan Tudyk is an all-CG capture,
an
all-CG right?
capture, yeah.
So there's
which
that.
Which terrifies me, but it's Alan Tudyk, so I have faith. Remember the last all-CG character we were treated to in the Star Wars universe?
True.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
With a comical bent.
Yes.
Maybe he's playing Zeb.
Oh, and let's be and let's not forget,
because those rumors have started again.
Right. Of course. I don't think it's going to be Zeb. Why wouldn't they just get the guy who voices Zeb?
I'm just saying.
Let's also talk for a moment about, and it's other Felicity Jones, yeah. Right? Isn't that who's the lead in that,
yes.
in that flick? Let's also talk about the other name that I had no idea was being attached to Rogue One. So it's first I heard of it. Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
So for those of you who knew Mads Mikkelsen, is he's currently playing Dr. Hannibal Lecter in the TV program Hannibal.
Right.
On NBC, which has been canceled. Is it possible that he could be some sort of Imperial commander in this movie? Because, I mean, oh my God,
that's
I'm
a long shot. Of course,
I'm going to faint if he is not.
Was he not? He wasn't in the cast photo that they released.
No, he was
so that's
not.
The rogue, that is the rogue group in that photo.
Except right. Alan Tudyk.
Except Alan Tudyk.
Right. Who was not in there either.
Right.
But, yeah, and there's a couple of really, apparently two of those guys, or at least one of them, possibly two of them, are really important martial arts guys.
Yeah, so?
So there's that. Forrest Whitaker was also not pictured.
No, because but he's not part of the group that infiltrates. He's a commander.
Is
I think.
He?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I think
I mean,
he's like a commander in the rebel for the rebel yeah. forces. Yeah.
If you go to, I want to say it's like Boba Fett fan page or Fett fan uh-huh. page or something. They have broken down that photo and compared some of the equipment on the people in that to Mandalorian equipment.
Oh, nice.
So I wonder if there's going to be some sort of tie in there. It would be interesting.
All right.
So, yeah, a lot of interesting stuff about Rogue One. We also got the director for episode 9.
Colin Trevorrow.
Trevorrow.
Yeah.
Who did, and don't laugh, he did Jurassic World.
He did.
But he also did another one, a movie right before that. The one that actually got him the gig was not Jurassic World. It was, I can't remember the name of it.
Safety
Not Guaranteed
yeah,
or
Safety
something
not
like
guaranteed.
That.
Yes.
Which is an excellent movie.
It is, yeah. So that is actually, and that's what Kathleen Kennedy said. That's the movie that got him the gig.
A lot of heart in there.
And I got to tell you, after seeing the box office numbers for Jurassic World, I'm sure that they're very pleased with their decision.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I don't think it had anything to do with him necessarily. I would say the directing talent is better showcased in that smaller movie. But what I think Jurassic Park proved is that he can make a big budget movie.
Absolutely.
Which
is important.
Episode 9 is going to be.
Right.
So
who's Chris Pratt going to play?
Young Han Solo. No. Mm. We did get some Young Han Solo news, but not at D23. I think that was before D23.
Just
but
prior
we could
to
talk
it.
About
they confirmed,
that in a sec.
Well, they confirmed Young Han Solo.
It's going to be Young Han Solo.
Yeah, what they did not confirm is the third standalone movie being Boba Fett, which
right.
it appears like that's what's going to be, even though no one will confirm it at this point. For a number of different reasons, they said, which actually, in my opinion, gives hope to the fact that maybe they need to push that to phase 2 of Disney Star Wars and maybe squeak that Kenobi movie in there.
Do you say that maybe gives a new hope to?
Never. Oh, wow.
Well, look, they have plenty of time to make that announcement because this year is 7, next year is Rogue One,
right.
The year after that is 8.
Yeah,
after
there's
that
time.
Is Solo.
Yeah.
After that is 9.
Right.
So you're not getting to that third anthology
right.
film until 2000 and
I think the next
13?
Right. I think the next piece of I guess the next big piece of news
20,
we're going to hear from Star Wars will probably be additional episode 8 casting.
Right.
And then of course the only news that most people want to hear is who in the hell is going to play young Han Solo.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't use River Phoenix this time.
I also think we'll probably start hearing some news in the next 6 months, maybe a year, on the Netflix series too, or the first
series.
Yeah, but I my guess is we'll get the first one soonish.
At least
maybe
news
not.
About it.
Yeah.
I don't think we're getting it for at least a year.
No. Yeah. Let's talk about also the poster. Right?
Oh, I was hoping you'd get to this. My favorite thing to come out of it.
Drew Struzan. Struzan.
Struzan.
Struzan.
He did an episode 7 poster, as he should have.
Oh, of course.
Correct.
I mean, there was some talk. I mean, I remember like maybe a year ago or so, there was some talk about he wasn't going to do it, but I didn't see why or why people thought that. And then,
well,
of course,
he's retired.
People are
so yeah, there was concern that, well, he just wasn't going to come out of retirement to do anything.
Listen, you're not retired when someone asks you to do Star Wars or anything.
Ask John Williams.
When you're a creative, you're not retired, period.
Ask John Williams.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
The only one holding fast to that has been Sean Connery so far. I'm waiting to see what pulls him out of retirement.
I think nothing. I think
Indiana Jones didn't do it, so I'm yeah. And the Skyfall, the last Bond film, didn't do it, and the Albert Finney role is rumored to have been written for Connery him? To yeah. play.
Do you know what the
so
rumor
neither
is?
Of those pulled him out of it.
Do you know
so.
What the rumor is about him? That he has dementia.
Dementia.
Mm-hmm.
The rapist.
I'll take the rapist.
So, that's what I heard. That's the rumor.
Anal bum cover for 1,000.
Is so, that he has Alzheimer's and or dementia.
I mean,
if you were at D23,
not 60, outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah, he is no. 98. So,
if you were at D23, they actually were giving out versions of that poster. Some people actually got that poster. So,
did West Coast Scott get that poster?
I don't know. The only thing I care about that West Coast Scott got was that Astromech droid. So anything else is bonus.
What was it? R2-D23?
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
And then last but not least, oh, I'm sorry.
Well, the main
Scott.
Thing that drew me in that poster, Boyega with the nice shiny blue lightsaber.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
That's Luke's saber.
Inquiry. Are we looking at Luke's machinery there?
If you look at the hilt, the popular opinion is that it's his saber. The other rumor is that he carries that saber for about a third of the film.
Okay, which saber though?
It's blue, so it's
got to be the one he lost in Empire.
It's the one he loses in Empire.
Interesting.
Yeah, because he had green right by Jedi. So
yeah,
he had one
completely
saber.
Different hilt design.
The one he made was green.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The one he lost was blue.
Blue.
And technically, isn't that Anakin's saber?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. You know, there's a million different ways you go
but
there.
So we potentially have the Darth Vader fanboy in Ren's character, and we've got possibly the Luke fanboy in Boyega.
It's interesting to me. It wasn't just that he had the saber. It was he was holding it. He was
legit.
He was like wielding it.
He's ready for combat.
Yeah,
with
like,
that son of a.
And
bitch.
It's ignite. Okay. I mean, I don't know if you're reading too much into the image, or because they could have done it 100 different ways. Well, I don't know. I think there's some significance to it.
Let's be clear about a few things.
Sure.
You don't need to be a Jedi to use a saber.
I didn't say use a saber,
right.
But he's not like he looks like
he's not cutting a tauntaun open.
He's
wielding
it. I mean, it looks like he's legit holding the saber.
Okay.
That's all. I just thought it was interesting.
I agree with you.
It's that
but
samurai
I don't think we should
stance
read,
they do with the saber to the side to keep the light out of the eyes. That's,
I'm just saying,
that's
like, if I
stance.
Had picked up a saber, right, I don't know that I'd be all... I don't know that I'd be holding it all properly if I was brave enough to ignite it.
Well, I guess when your life's on the line.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
Anyway,
interesting.
All right.
Yeah, it's an interesting image.
Star Wars Land.
Star Wars Land.
Oh, boy.
The biggest expansion in Disney history.
Before we get to Star Wars Land, though, we're getting a Star Tours upgrade.
Yes.
The Adventure Continues, which will feature locations
Jakku.
And characters from The Force Awakens.
Correct.
We're also getting Season of the Force, which is going to be a new seasonal event that's going to begin in 2016.
Like Star Wars Weekends, only longer.
Right. And then, of course, now Star Wars Land. Both parks are getting it. Both of the U.S.-based parks are getting it.
Yep.
14
acres each.
Yep.
Jesus.
Star Wars Launch Bay and Hyperspace Mountain are two of the attractions that we know about thus far.
As in roller coaster, Space Mountain takeoff,
Hyperspace Mountain.
This is the description. Season of the Force coming to the new seasonal event beginning early.
Here's the information. Wait,
okay, here
let
it
me
is.
Find
guests will also be coming thrilled to climb aboard Hyperspace Mountain, a reimagining of the classic Space Mountain attraction in which guests will join an X-Wing starfighter battle at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Guests will close out the weekend nights with a new fireworks spectacular. So I think that's going to debut at. The first
season of the
Force.
So season of the
basically Force. What you've just told me is every time I've gone on to Space Mountain, I have envisioned myself in an X-Wing fighter fighting
right.
for my life. Now I get to do it for real
exactly.
in an actual licensed Star Wars roller fucking coaster. Oh, boy.
And then Star Wars Launch Bay. This interactive experience will take guests into the upcoming film, Star Wars The Force Awakens, with a special exhibit and peek behind the scenes, including opportunities to visit with new and favorite Star Wars characters, special merchandise and food offerings. Star Wars Launch Bay will be located in the Anaheim Courtyard at Disney Hollywood Studios and in Tomorrowland in the Disneyland Park.
Blue Milk or GTFO.
So, yeah, exactly. So there you go. And yeah, 14 acres. The artwork, there's also going to be a Millennium Falcon-based ride, but we don't know anything else about it other than it's Millennium Falcon-based. I mean, this is huge. We've all wanted this for, we've all wanted this since Star Tours. We were all like, oh my God, could you imagine if they did a whole Star Wars themed? I mean, like, and when was Star Tours? 90,
you know,
earlier than that. Right. Star Tours was started in the 80s, didn't it? Out in California?
You guys have had a lot more experience with this than I have because you've kind of been in the parks much more than I have.
Yes.
So the first
once
time.
Once or twice.
So the once or twice. So the first time I was in Disney World was Celebration. What one just passed? Eight?
Right.
Right.
Seven?
So it would be five.
Okay.
Right? Because I've been to three. It would be five. That was the first one, the first time I had gone to the park. It should be noted, the previous time I went to the park, there was no Epcot Center.
Right.
Holy
shit. Yeah, there was a lot for me to see. But that said, when I saw the... Is it a chicken walker or is it a full ish?
How long did it take for you to get down?
I believe
on a horse.
It's a crashed AT-AT in an Endor village.
In Florida is, it's
an AT-AT.
Is it crashed?
I don't think
it's
crashed.
Hanging out?
Oh, it's just hanging out. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're right.
I was like, oh man, this is awesome. And then the Tatooine trader shop, the outside of it, the inside, but the outside and the way it looked, I was just like, I was flabbergasted. And the rebel base looking thing where the dancing Vader show takes place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a much newer experience for me than it is for you guys. Mm. So I'm extraordinarily jacked.
Oh, that old thing.
So yeah, this is going to be awesome for fanboys and everyone in existence. I think we have a lot more to talk about. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to take one more news story. Then we're going to take our first break.
Crazy.
We have a couple more voicemails and then some more news.
Crazy.
What's the news story you want? Because there's one in there that really kind of blew me away involving DC and their TV ventures.
Yep. Go ahead. Let's do it. Let's get it out of the way in segment one so we have time to heal for segment two.
The new show they're talking about.
Powerless is the one that you're talking about.
I can't believe they've done that. You know what they've done? DC has fucked Marvel out of a shot at a comedy sitcom gold thing with adapting Damage Inc.
Yeah, I guess the problem is that it's DC and it's not on the CW. I'm just saying.
But the premise, putting that on TV, making a comedy about just the normal everyday people that deal with superheroes in the outside of their lives. I'm sure they're dealing with the destruction and whatnot that is brought about by all that as well. It's not necessarily going to be the insurance company that handles all of it, but they've effectively jumped ahead on their version of at least a DC's Damage Inc.
Let me give you
Marvel can't touch that now, which would have been fun to see if that ever went to Netflix.
Let me give you a quick rundown of the description in case people aren't familiar with Damage Inc. or what we're talking about. Workplace comedy set at one of the worst insurance companies in America. They go on to describe.
Insurance company.
The reality of working life for a normal, powerless person in a world of superheroes and villains. The outlet notes, no A-list superheroes from the DCU like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman are expected to appear in the series. Though with the character's line of work being insurance, it's almost a given. They'll be blah, 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 talking about Damage and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah, I think it sounds kind of stupid, to be honest with you.
There's another show that deals with that sort of thing. It's called Powers. And we know how well that did.
Yeah, but Powers has powers. This characters who have powers. The main characters do not.
Right.
But there are other characters on the show that do.
Right.
This sounds like it's going to be, you're only going to hear about people with powers.
Okay.
So it's going to cut the budget. And my guess is it's going to be, they have to settle claims for Superman fucking up Metropolis.
You fucked up. I didn't even notice.
You didn't notice?
I screwed up, by the way. It's
okay.
Damage Control.
Oh!
Damage Inc. Right. was a Metallica thing. But Damage Control is a fictional construction company appearing in Marvel Comics, which specializes in repairing the property damage caused by conflicts between superheroes and supervillains.
Fuck it. I hope Marvel does it. I hope Marvel does it and does it better, because that's what they do.
That would be amazing.
So that being said, let's take our first break.
Yeah, so G, we will take that first break right here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 384. And we'll be right back.
Build the Millennium Falcon. A one-to-one replica of the original Empire Strikes Back movie prop. Working lights and stunning interior detail. Complete with a moving ramp. Build the Millennium Falcon step by step with your comprehensive build guide, die-cast metal, and highly detailed resin parts. Call now or go online to buildmillenniumfalcon.com and get started today.
Yes, you can get started today.
Indeed, a Rooney.
It is probably the best Star Wars collectible currently available. It's one of those giant things you always see at cons and you see presentations of, and you're like, I'll never be able to afford such a thing. Now you have a way not only to afford such a thing, but you're building it. It's yours.
Yeah, man.
You know, any changes and stuff you want to make on it and things like that, this is your opportunity to own a Millennium Falcon.
Yep.
Lights up, wall mount, everything else. Sorry, I'm
No.
I'm telling you, I love it. That's why I keep talking about it so much, because I think it's one of the greatest Star Wars collectibles to come down the pike in a long time.
I absolutely agree. And our listeners should go over to buildmillenniumfalcon.com to check it out, or they can call 877-544-6779.
Yes.
And get your subscription going today.
Yes.
Do it.
Can't wait to finish mine. Cannot wait.
All right. We have a voicemail now from West Coast correspondent Scott, talking
West Coast Scott.
Yes, talking about D23. So we're going to play that now for you guys.
Hello, gentlemen. It's your West Coast correspondent, Scott, at YMINCA on Twitter, reporting on my D23 experience this weekend. As usual, my favorite part of the experience was the very Disney property specific cosplay. Lots of great people doing a lot of really good work on their costumes, so that was always fun. Knowing that Disney owns Star Wars and Marvel, I was pretty excited about this event, especially because Marvel had pulled back its presence at San Diego Comic-Con. So I was expecting a lot. I was actually a little bit disappointed until my wife Brittany pointed out that it's not actually a convention, it's an expo. So I take that to mean it was more about showcasing the Disney family of properties through exhibits and less about a very large, diverse gathering of pop culture vendors that I've really grown accustomed to. There was no shortage of merch for sale, you know, all Disney-related, of course, but you had to stand in line to do any of that, and I'll get to that in a little bit. The standouts on the floor included the preview of Shanghai Disney, scheduled to open this spring. Tomorrowland looks incredible. There's an updated Buzz Lightyear ride, Tron Light Cycle that puts you right on one of the bikes, so that looks pretty exciting. You get to interact and talk to people behind the creation and construction of the park. That was pretty interesting. The Disney Archives was another standout, a nice walkthrough of memorabilia, including the first ticket that Roy Disney purchased on opening day back in July of 1955, cast member costumes, Autopia cards, just a really nice walkthrough. The panels were more about presentations than the kind of Q&A that I'm used to at Comic-Con type of panels, and I was not lucky enough to really get into the big panels, again, having mostly to do with the lines. So I'll talk a little bit about that. You expect Disney to be really good at these things. I heard that they contracted out the running of the show, and that really explains why it was so bad. There was supposed to be, on day one, doors opening at 9 for Gold and Silver D23 members, and then 10 for everybody else. The Gold and Silver member line did not even finish getting in until about 11. They had two people at the door scanning badges. And so it was close to noon, so 3 hours in the 90-degree direct sunlight for all those fans standing out there for the general admission folks. So it was really poorly run, lots of frustration. And then on day two, it was not really much better, except there was a couple signs pointing into which line was which. We got in the Gold and Silver line on that day because a friend of ours is a member. Turns out they weren't even checking. So the lines are really on the honor system. So again, very poorly run, which made getting into a lot of the panels very difficult. Getting into the show was really difficult in all that heat. They sold out on a lot of their merch very quickly on day one. They didn't hold anything back for second days. And the lines for some of the stores were 4 to 5 hours long if you didn't get one of the passes to get into the store. Anyway, D23 Expo was pretty poorly run. Once you get inside, we had a pretty good time. It's nice. You could easily cover everything on the floor in one day. So if you're not trying to buy those super rare exclusives and you just want to see some cool Disney stuff and some cool Disney cosplay, it was great. But they really need to send the people that are running it to con school, you know, let them learn a little bit more about crowd control, which was very disappointing because Disney's usually very good at these things. So, again, overall, the experience was pretty good once we're inside, but pretty miserable for everyone on the outside of the convention waiting to get in. We had a pretty good couple days looking at the cosplay, and Disney bought it every day. It was nice. Anyway, that's my report on D23. Hopefully in 2 years they will fix some of those bugs and make it a little bit better. Thanks again for the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
So there you go.
There it is.
Nice.
I mean, look, it's a big convention.
Yeah.
D23 is only getting bigger with the huge licenses that get.
It's also fairly new, like in the sense that
it's 5 or 6 years, I think.
No,
I
know that.
Isn't it?
But what I mean is it's fairly new to the big con scene with the kind of presentations that they're now going to be having because of the big licenses and so on. So,
but overall, it sounds like he had an excellent experience.
Yeah.
And hopefully some of those issues that he said,
right,
you know, they kind of get corrected in 2 years, I think, is the next one. Yeah. So there you go. So thank you.
Is it
Scott.
2 years? I thought it was every year from now on.
I think he said two. I could be mistaken. Maybe he's not going back next year. Maybe it's 2 years for him. I don't know.
I think D23, I think, is an every year.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
that's their every
year. I thought he said 2 years at one point during that voicemail.
They are all about that thing. It's neat to see how it's grown, because there was a time when I worked for the Mouse.
You did.
And I worked for the Mouse when that first came to be, D23, and it was really neat to see. It was cool at the outset, and it was fun to see, hey, this is going to go places. And then once Marvel hit, and then the Star Wars thing hit, I mean, this thing is unstoppable. So it's really cool to see how it's evolved over the past few years.
I know this is a big thing for you and I, PK, but that Tron thing sounds really good.
Wait, which Tron thing?
Tron light cycle thing?
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
Wait, what did I miss?
Well, this is what you get for not paying attention. I'm not going to tell you. Now, you're going to have to go back and listen to Scott's voicemails, and you're going to have to hear about the Tron thing.
Well, I'd hear working all of the all the buttons and the bells and the whistles here.
Okay, really?
Just know that you'll like it.
You will like it.
Damn it.
So thank you again to Scott.
West Coast Scott.
Right.
Call him by his proper
name. West Coast Scott.
Is West Coast Scott, did he say whether he's coming to New York this year? I know they said they wanted to come at one point.
I'm assuming if he hasn't made those arrangements yet, it might be hard for him to make those arrangements. But I don't know. We should ask him.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
we should ask him. Mm. We do have one other part of a voicemail.
Because I'd really like him to cover New York Comic Con.
So you want a booth monkey. Oh, and you want the... Yeah, I know.
No, we have PK for that. No, what I want is, you know, someone to cover New York Comic Con, because we're not going to be able to see any of it.
Word.
So.
Truth. That's fair enough. We do have one more part of a voicemail that we're going to play.
Yeah, we're going to actually... we're going to play that little bit of... let's call it 10% of Cleveland's voicemail had to do with... I think it was
an Ohio convention. Yeah, I forget the name of the
East
action.
Ohio Con, yeah, or like EOCon, or some such thing.
This past Sunday was NeoCon, Northeast Ohio Comic Con. It was the first time they've had it here at the new con. It was not bad. It took place at a Holiday Inn, like a convention center or banquet hall. They were planning for about 750 people. They got about 1,750 people. So needless to say, it was jam-packed and crammed. Unfortunately, I left early because it was to the point where I could barely move through the people, and some of the organization in different booths was kind of not the best. But hopes that maybe next year they'll be back and have a larger venue. Was able to pick up a couple of Funkos from my collection, some harder-to-find stuff. Mainly local comic shops. There's some artists. I know Sean Forney was there. He always makes the rounds here in the area. In terms of anything big, I know Virgil, an ex-WWF wrestler, was there. I believe there was other couple other wrestling guys that were there, but they were in another part of the building. And even to take a picture of them with your cell phone, apparently they were charging, so I didn't even waste my time.
That's huge, though.
But that's what I'm talking about.
Those kind of numbers, they were insane. They were expecting 750, and they got, what did he say, 1,700?
Something like that, yeah.
That's more than double, right? That's the math?
It was mass packed.
But that's great. I mean...
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's funny that Virgil was there. Because really, Virgil will set up a table in a subway tunnel.
I know. We've seen those.
I love seeing his GoFundMe has gotten completely shit on. It's a beautiful thing.
I'm conflicted about what I'm about to plug, but it's really funny. So you have to check it out if you get the opportunity. Just Google Lonely Virgil.
Yes.
That's it. Just Google Lonely Virgil and have fun with it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Have fun with it. But it sounds like a good con.
Right.
I'm glad that there are more of these small conventions popping up. We really, here on this show, we really have a love and a passion for these grassroots kind of upstart cons. Not that we don't love New York. We love New York.
Artists, shows, kind of independent stuff. We have a real big
a real big boner for those. So if you're going to go to one or you're involved or you're one of these people, hey, man, reach out to
us. Let
us
know. Yeah. We could plug definitely it at minimum. And if we're local, we can cover it.
So. Yeah, we'll come. So we went to what was that one we went to like 3 weeks ago?
Garden State Comic Fest.
That was a good time.
Not really a con, but me and Big Kev did go to a show this weekend at lovely Suburban Vinyl in New Jersey.
Suburban Vinyl in lovely Waldorf, right. New Jersey.
This was the Arsenal of Artists, No Tune Left Behind show. And there were a ton of pieces there. I think it's the most pieces I've ever seen definitely at a Suburban show.
Yeah, it was a lot of work.
I've been to that show a couple times with you guys, and it's been loaded previously.
PK, I'm telling you, it had to be double what is normally there.
Holy
I think,
shit. Yeah.
And it was nice because there was a
lot
was,
of 3D, 2D stuff.
That's
too.
What it was. There was a lot of 2D stuff. And, nice, but it was a lot of it was really creative. The Pee Wee Herman, the newspaper clipping one, the mugshot one.
Yeah.
I thought was really great.
Yep.
I like the skate decks. I really wish I could have got the skate decks. But I did get some great pieces. I picked up two pieces.
Yeah.
One for my wife from Arson, who's a friend of the show. Great to see him there.
Why would you talk about that?
Because you don't listen to this shit.
Oh. Oh, well, there you go then.
I don't know.
It's a special gift for a special anniversary.
So I picked up a piece from Arson, who, again, great to see him. He is a friend of the show. He's been a longtime friend of the show. And I picked up a piece for myself. The artist's name on that was Joe Citrelli, I believe. And it was the player select screen.
Yeah.
He recreated the player select screen for the old TMNT game.
Yeah.
And it's... the old arcade,
the four player.
And the golden axe
of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, I had to have it. It was, it was a great price point too. Which
the
helped.
Simpsons of the Teenage Mutant,
or the Simpsons of Teenage Mutant.
But a lot of our friends had pieces in the show. Alex, Play for Gorilla, had a show. Actually, him and Cash Cannon, who had a piece in the show as well. They were the guys that
they
organized
it, right?
The show.
Yeah.
Right. I'm trying to think. Brian Albeck, Dead Hand Toys, had a piece in the show. I can't even tell you.
Did Arson have a piece in that show?
Yeah. Didn't I just say I bought one of his pieces?
Oh, yeah.
He
sorry.
Had four pieces in
I
that
meant a
show.
3D piece, sir.
No, he did not have. He went 2D this time.
Got it. Got it.
There's so many people that had pieces in
Tons.
That show. So many. Look, I'll post pictures. There's pictures that'll be in the gallery.
What about Chris Dolfer, sir?
Oh, yeah. Dolfer had three pieces
three
in the
pieces.
Show. Skeletor pieces, which were great. Lou Pimentel had a Battle Cat He-Man piece that was in the show.
Very nice. There were more.
There are so many different artists. Blazing Brickhouse Liz, who we've met before, she's a sweetheart. She had a piece in the show. Soko Cat had a Catwoman piece in the show. Who am I missing? Ben Lung had a piece in the show, which was that floating TMNT piece.
Okay. All right, good. Before you have a
Dad's Cartoons had a Voltron piece or two Voltron pieces.
Before
in the
you
show.
Have a stroke.
Yeah.
I see the vein in your head.
Because I'm trying to think of all of our friends.
Getting confused. Are you or are you PK?
I don't want to leave out any of... This is like the Oscar speech where you don't want to leave out any of the people who have helped you get to where you are.
You didn't even open by thanking God.
I did. Well, God didn't put me at that show.
You're going to have to give your award to Jack Lemmon, sir.
Who else? I know I'm leaving so many people out.
Send a Native American woman to get it.
But it was great seeing everybody. It's always a good time at Suburban Vinyl.
Absolutely. And I, conversely, I did not buy a piece from the show, and it's not because I didn't like a lot of pieces from the show. But I did pick up stuff that I was able to get at Suburban Vinyl that I haven't been able to get in other places.
Nice.
So if you're looking for stuff that is not only artist-based but is also some mainstream stuff as well, I got all of the Jaws toys.
Yes.
From Funko.
Oh, my.
So the three carded figures and the shark. No, I still don't have the San Diego exclusive shark. God damn it. But I do have all the regular pieces now. And that's thanks to Suburban Vinyl, who had all those pieces. Yeah.
So there you go. That was a fun show. And I hope to start going to their shows again. I spoke to the fine proprietor, not the mayor.
Yes.
The proprietor of that show. And I said, look, Friday nights are hard. I work.
yeah,
until 5 o'clock. By the time your show starts, I'm like eating dinner and going to bed shortly thereafter. Yeah. A lot of Fridays, I'm like,
got
to
do those Saturdays.
He's like, yeah, we're not doing Fridays anymore.
Yeah,
it's like no one could come. It was hard. I was like, yeah, do Saturdays because I guarantee if you do Saturdays,
we'll be there.
I know I can be there. I can be a lot easier on a Saturday. And there was a huge turnout at this show, yep. So it was great. It was really great to see everybody. So yeah, kudos to them for that show. We have a couple more news stories that I want to hit. Do you guys have anything? I don't want to gloss over anything you guys might have had. No, I have a couple, but
I have there's a toy show coming up. I should have looked it up, but I forgot. That I'm going to be going to. I'm going to try to convince you to go.
Okay.
It's right in Parsippany, New Jersey.
When is it?
It's next. I think it's next weekend.
Okay.
Or the weekend after. Okay. It's the last weekend in August. Yeah. So, I mean, if it is next weekend, then I'll say something about it next week with more information.
Post the information on the Facebook page as well. Look, go there.
Well, it's actually a show I went to last year. I talked about it.
I remember. New Jersey lot. Toy Con?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah. It's the same guy who does the Wayne Firehouse
Toy
Show.
Is this the one in Jersey City? Or?
No.
Oh, no. Parsippany, you said.
Parsippany,
that,
yeah. Really great show that I went to last time. Found a really great load of things to get there last time. So I'm really looking forward to that.
A couple more news things then. Nothing? You guys have nothing? Yes?
Nothing.
I can move forward? Okay.
Nope. Nothing. PK, no films to plug? Nothing?
I got a book I'm reading that I could throw out
it.
There.
Oh, yeah, lovely. Go for it.
You know, this thing called reading that
I hear it's fundamental.
Like a novel with words and not just pictures. I've been reading a book called The Night Circus by Morgan Stern is the author on it. And I figured
is it F. Morgan Stern? The same guy that wrote Princess Bride?
Related. Daughter. Or cousin or something, but it's an excellent book so far. I'm maybe a quarter of the way through it. The reason I'm plugging it is we have at least one magic geek in our listening crew here,
sure.
And I imagine there's got to be some more. So I'm curious to know that if we have any people that are magic enthusiasts,
not the
card game, sleight of hand, etc.
I don't think we have any of those.
No, we have at least
we
one.
We definitely have one.
I know.
We just definitely
kidding.
Have one. I'm
not gonna plug your name, blah blah blah.
So there. It's an excellent book so far, and it basically focuses on the night circus, which is a circus that comes around at night, and it's a world of real magicians,
right.
Kind of working amongst the what they are know to be the bogus sleight of hand guys and whatnot, and it's very very interesting stuff so far. The reason I picked it up is because I'm actually performing a gig for a Sweet 16 next month.
Nice.
That is themed on the night circus. So all my steampunk gear, which I had retired as someone performing in the steampunk gear, was just a costume piece. I'm taking that out of retirement to perform specifically for this gig for good friends of ours.
Excellent.
Should be a really good time.
Say, would you like to hire PK to play your son or daughter's bar mitzvah? Give us a call at the GVM line.
At 425-920-6050.
And you may have PK at your celebratory function.
You're in that plug.
Doing easy his magic magic tricks.
There you go. All right.
I won't
feats
light so much
magics.
Stuff on fire.
Nice.
Feats of magics.
Just don't invite my wife to any of your magic gigs. Because I can't
I want to survive.
I can't promise you'll leave with all
I don't
of your
wanna
limbs.
I don't want to be stabbed.
Yeah.
And bludgeoned.
Because the last time we were together, you were lucky that all of us were drinking a lot. because it might have gotten ugly. I'm just saying.
She holds the record with the amount of time saying, I will cut you on every poof and ta-da that I throw you guys way.
So anyway, yes, poof and ta-da indeed. Neither poof
my
nor ta-da. Zach Galifianakis. I just wanted to bring this up only because of the character that he's going to be portraying.
Oh,
he's going to be voicing the Joker in the upcoming Batman Lego movie.
For fuck's sake.
I mean, on the one hand, it's not like we expected Mark Hamill to be doing this because Will Arnett is doing Batman.
Sure.
It makes sense to have a comedian actually do it in this case.
Of course, but really anybody. Anybody.
Here's my problem with Zach Galifianakis. He's my sense of his comedy, right? And even most of the performances that I've seen him in, he's kind of like the straight guy, like the straight comedian, like very dry, which is not the Joker. In any iteration of the Joker is not dry. He's either a lunatic or he's over the top.
Well, I would rather have seen Jack Black do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, I could get behind that.
There's, and it's their voice work is what's happening here. And Jack Black certainly has the timber to do something wild with the Joker in the context of a Lego movie. I wouldn't want to hear it in a serious production. Zach Galifianakis is so bloody whiny sounding vocally. I can't fathom how he's going to portray
anything
remotely resembling a Joker sound.
We'll all just wait and
see.
I
think Birdman is the only thing I've ever enjoyed him in.
All right.
Period.
Fair enough. I don't think I've enjoyed him in anything. No, I like that show that he did. That little, he had that little
Between
online
Two
show.
Ferns?
Yeah, a couple of those episodes were kind of
the
fun.
The one with Obama was really hysterical. Well,
yeah. That hinges on his guests.
All right.
You guys have seen Birdman, yeah?
I have not.
I haven't seen it yet. No.
I know. I've heard amazing things, but I have not yet.
It's an excellent superhero movie.
Yep, that's what they say.
Chris Hemsworth was spotted on the set of Ghostbusters this week. And the only interesting part about this and why I wanted to bring it up is because he was actually wearing a jumpsuit in those photos, which leads us to believe that he's going to be a bit more active than old Annie Potts was in her role of her version of his role, his version of her role, whatever the fuck it
is. His version of her role.
Yes. So there you go. So
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Not a single shit was taken on it.
No.
Which, why?
Because it's Chris Hemsworth, and he is beloved.
The goddamn patriarch.
He's Thor, sir.
Yeah, but he's wearing the same costume.
But you don't fuck with Thor.
And nobody shit on the... It's the same costume that everybody lost their fucking shit over.
Same reason...
Puny God.
It's the same reason Snowpiercer was a thing.
All right.
Because it was Chris Evans.
And because it's awesome.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
All right. We don't have to do anything else. I think we could probably wrap this up for this week's episode.
What? Seriously?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Did you just throw away like five news stories?
Not like one news story, and it's barely a news story.
What is it?
I'll save it for, I think there's more coming out for next week, so I'll piggyback it. It makes much more sense to do that.
Wow, I actually hear the music.
I know, it's nice.
I hear the beginning of it.
That means I could start the plug.
Yes.
Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at bkgeekstuff.com, where we have important information like the link to the Begathon, as well as the PayPal link is there as well. So don't forget, you want to check that out, please. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/bkgeekstuff. You can find us on Twitter at bkgeekstuff, at geekstuffog, and at
KR Marlow, MARLO.
That's right. So there. Instagram, I'm over there. GeekStuffOG. I'll post show-related stuff over there. So you can find me over there. And the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And you may hear yourself on a future episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, assuming you are brief and to the point.
And yes, and then you follow the guidelines.
That's it. And I think that's it.
No.
What did I miss?
The Begathon.
Did you miss the part of the wrap-up where I plugged the Begathon for a good 30 seconds?
I did.
I gave out the link to the PayPal.
What you did was...
And the eBay auctions.
No, where you failed, sir, is that you only did it once.
Oh, my bad.
This is the second plug for the Begathon.
Okay.
Because we are in the third week of the Begathon, so we have to push it even harder. Your contributions keep this program alive.
Sure.
So go over to bkgeekstuff.com, hit that PayPal button, and give us a little bit of your crash.
Listen, we give you 400-something episodes a year,
so
that's got to be worth a buck or two, right?
How many weeks in a year?
52.
We give you at least 40-something episodes a year.
Theoretically.
And, yes, and of course, the auctions. Check out those links. More auctions coming starting this weekend. Some amazing stuff. Tell your friends about the auctions.
Absolutely.
Tell your friends about Big Kev's Geek Stuff. That's going to come in the fall.
Yeah, man.
Tell a Friend is after...
It's after New York Comic Con.
After New York Comic Con, yeah.
So there you go. So with that, Big Kev.
Yes, with that, OG, we will end this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff the way we end many of our episodes, by saying, good night, Yvonne Craig, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.